Morning, everyone. Today's daf and dharm is Lamed Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lamed Zechen Ismachliba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on the Mishnah on the very bottom of Lamed Chesem and Beis. As promoted, as promised, today we start a Gemara regarding Bikur Cholim, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. It comes up in the dharm for reasons which will become evident as we go through the Mishnah. And today and tomorrow are really the two primary dafim and shas that deal with the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The source of Bikur Cholim we're going to be discussing later on. Although, hopefully you already know the answer, whereas Bikur Cholim mentioned the Torah, the answer is it's not. We have Ramazim, we have a lot of hints in the Torah where Bikur Cholim is mentioned, not a lot, a couple. But there's no source in the Torah, there's no mitzvah in the Torah that says that you must visit the sick. So later this morning we're going to start a Gemara on the Amud Beis that talks about where the remez, where there are hints and allusions in the Torah to this important mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. In the meantime, however, we start with the Mishnah. Correct. It's a wonderful episode in the Torah. There's no mitzvah. In other words, we're talking about where the Torah is commanding us. Okay, it's not there. Anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it more later this morning. The mission starts off. So once again, we have a construct where two people are at odds with one another, and it results in a neder. And so, as a result of the neder, so one is now prohibited from conferring benefit to the other person. So, at this juncture, we simply do not know whether it's the mevaker, the one who's visiting, or it's whether the sick person is the one who is prohibited to get benefit. So, at this juncture, we don't know. So, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to read and translate the Mishnah with very little understanding, because simply put, we simply don't know who can't get benefit from whom. So, Amudar Hanam Echavero, V'nichnas Avakro, and he comes in and he visits him, Omid Avalo Yoshev. So, here, you can pay him a visit, but you can only stand and you can't sit, says the Mishnah. Omirapo Refuas Nefesh, and you can provide healing, Avalo Refuas Mamun, but not monetary medicine. Okay, at this juncture, the Mishnah is really unclear. In fact, the Ran has only but two words to describe the Mishnah, Mefarish B'Gemara. The Ran says there's a lot to discuss and a lot to explain, so all this is going to come up in the Gemara, so let's do so right now. We are on the very top of Lamed Testament Aleph, and right now we're going to deal with the most basic question in the Mishnah. So who is not allowed to get benefit from whom? So again, there's an assumption that we all know, that somebody's sick, so I have a mitzvah to visit him. It's the mitzvah is called Bikur Cholim. As I pointed out in the promo of today's shiur, there's no source in the Torah that says it's a mitzvah, but we all know it's a mitzvah. That's not up for discussion. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That is up for discussion, but we're not going to talk about that right now. All we need to know is that, simply put, it's a mitzvah. Somebody's sick, so I have a mitzvah to go and visit that person who is ill. The Mishnah tells us that in the scenario of a neder, so the Mishnah says that the mevakin can go in and visit somebody, but the Mishnah says he can only stand and he can't sit. So obviously, let's go. What is the Mishnah talking about where you can only stand but you can't sit? And who is prohibited to whom? So this is what we need to do to explain. The Gemara starts off. So are we talking about a case where the property of the mevaker is prohibited to the chola? So afilo yoshev nami. So if this person who's sick is not allowed to get any benefit from the mevaker, okay, so then it should be no problem. What should be no problem? The Gemara says, what should be no problem is that the mevaker can come in, and not only come in, not only stand, but go even one step further. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Right? In other words, he's doing the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. As Ron over here explains, it's true that the person who's sick is getting benefited, meaning somebody's coming in and somebody's paying him a visit, but that is not coming as a result of the mevaker. Meaning, what's the mevaker's motivation? His motivation is very simple. It's a mitzvah. I understand we want to look past the mitzvah, we want to see the person, that's all very nice. But when all said and done, so really what's motivating him is the mitzvah. So he's doing a mitzvah, okay, and including the mitzvah, the other person's going to feel better by being visited, but that's not the motivation of the mavaker. The motivation of the mavaker is that he's doing a mitzvah. So he's conferring benefit onto the sick person by coming and visiting, but his real motivation, his true motivation is that he's doing a mitzvah. So now that he's under the auspices of doing a mitzvah, so stand, sit, it should be all fine. So then we don't understand the Mishnah. And Ibish Nechzechol Asun Al Mavakir. So now let's go the other direction. So maybe the neder is made the other way, where the person who's sick, his property is prohibited to the person who's stepping foot in the door. Well, if that's true, says the Gemara, Afilo Omeinami. So then the Mavakir can't even step foot in the door. Because if the person who's sick made a neder and the neder said that you're not going to get benefit from any of my property, well, that means that the moment that the Mavakir walks into the door, let's say it's raining outside or it's really hot outside, and the Mavakir walks in, so now he's getting shelter, he's getting shade, he's getting comfort. Can't do that. So then, sitting isn't the problem. Even just walking in the door is going to be a problem. Afilo aminami, lo. So right now, at this juncture, it's really hard to understand the Mishnah, because the Mishnah makes a distinction between standing and sitting, and at this point in time, we don't know. We tried out both directions. Both where the Mavakir is prohibited to the Chola, and the Chola is prohibited to the Mavakir, and in both directions, we don't understand the split decision of the Mishnah, that you can come in, and you can stand, but you can't sit. Either standing and sitting should be okay because the Mavakir is just doing a mitzvah, or neither should be okay because the property of the sick person is prohibited to the Mavakir, which means that you can't even walk in the door. So at this juncture, we don't get it. So Amar Shmuel, so the Gemara is going to give three explanations of our Mishnah, three possible explanations. Really, you could divide it into like 1A, 1B, and then a second explanation. So Amar Shmuel Olam, B'shenich the Mavakir Asun Olachola. So Shmuel sets up our Mishnah that the property of the Mavakir is prohibited to the person who's sick. And so that means now that the sick person can't receive benefit from the Mavakir. Now, as we already explained, when the person's coming in paying him a visit, so again, his primary motivation is he's doing so because of a mitzvah. And mitzvah is not hana'ah. Mitzvah lav lahenos nitnu. And so therefore, even though, yes, the sick person's getting benefit, but the truth of the matter is the Mavakir's doing it because it's a mitzvah. And as the Gemara said earlier, so really you should be fine both standing and sitting. So then why does the Mishnah make a distinction? So the Mishmul goes on to explain. We're talking about a community where people get paid to sit, but people don't get paid to stand. And the Ron explains like this. Look, as we've pointed out time and again, when you're doing a mitzvah, you can't get paid for doing a mitzvah. You can't get paid for teaching Torah. You can't get paid for doing any mitzvah in the Torah. In other words, a mitzvah, its principal purpose is, I'm just simply compliant with what the Torah wants from me, with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. You can't get paid. So if you're doing the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, of course you cannot get paid. Now, what is the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? So stay tuned. Later this morning, we're going to go on to discuss. But for our purposes right now, the basic mitzvah is to walk in the door, see what's going on, check in on him, see how he's doing. In other words, but it doesn't require to sit down. Bikur Cholim fundamentally only means that you come in, you check around, see how things are going, see how he's doing, maybe give him a little bit of company, but in other words, but not to stick around. So if you're just going to come in and stand and walk out, you for sure cannot get, you can't get, you can't charge for that. However, if you, let's say you come in, not just stick around, but you sit down as well. Okay, if you will, just to give you a slightly, you know, more understanding of this, it's like home health care. Okay, so in other words, so you're going to come in and you're going to stay there. So now you're going beyond the mitzvah, the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and now you can charge. And as the Ron explains, so here, did people charge for staying around for sitting? So that was dependent on various communities. Some communities they did, and some communities they didn't. So Shmuel explains our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a community where they charged for sitting. And again, why? Because sitting is above and beyond the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So now we can understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, says Shmuel, is talking about communities, Nolan Schali Shivave, Nolan Schalamida, where they did charge for sitting and not for standing. My Pascha, and the Gemara says, and that seems to be somewhat arbitrary. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. When you charge, you can only charge for sitting. You can't charge for standing for the reason that we explained. Because standing is the basic mitzvah. You can't charge for a mitzvah. Once you're sitting and once you're making yourself comfortable, you're now going beyond the mitzvah, and now you're allowed to charge. Good. So now we understand. Huh?
Charge for what?
Charge for being there.
Without providing any service,
you're just there, like it's like home healthcare. So now, so Okay. So I understand. They do provide services, but now you're beyond the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So once you're beyond the basic mitzvah, so now you can charge. Exactly for that reason, because you're doing a service. Okay. Okay. No, he's happy that you're there. He likes somebody being there. In other words, now you're beyond the basic mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so now you can charge.
Because it's
understood
that it's not like you pay.
Huh?
It's understood that
this community it's understood exactly. In this community, it's understood that if you're there for longer than the basic Bikur Cholim visit, so then there's going to be a fee incurred. And now we understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the person who's visiting is not allowed to provide benefit for the person he's visiting. So again, so now what's the problem? The problem is coming in, standing, that's fine, because he's doing a mitzvah. But now that he stays longer, so now that there's a fee that's going to be charged, and once the fee is waived, so now that's a benefit, because now that's a payment that the sick person doesn't have to pay. And that's a direct benefit that goes to the sick person, and that's why the Mishnah makes a distinction between standing versus sitting. That is answer number one. Answer number two. Now, this is not really answer number two. I'll put this as like 1B. Ebay same because Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim gzereshem yisha ba'amida hachanam gzereshem yisha ba'yeshiva. As the Ron explains this, we're going to see the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim a little bit later in tomorrow's daf or the day after or Shabbos. Either way, in other words, there's the Ron explains that in this second answer of the Gemara, really 1B, really it's the same basic answer of Shmuel, and that is that if you're coming in and you're just going to stand, you don't charge. And let's even say that we're talking about a community where they don't charge for standing nor for sitting, meaning there's no charges that were done. The problem is that we'll learn later on in the Gemara that there is always a concern that if you stay a little bit, you may stay for a longer period of time. So therefore, here as well, if you stay for a little bit, so you may end up staying for a longer period of time. So as Aaron explains, if you're just standing, so then where there's no gzera, then there's no concern. Because standing, your feet get tired. In other words, it's understood that, you know, please sit. In other words, that's always code for stay a little bit longer. But once you're standing, so you're going to come in, you're going to do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, you're going to come out. Once you sit, so there is a possibility that now you're not only going to stay just for the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, but you may stay for even longer. So maybe, says the Gemara, that's another suggestion in terms of what the difference is between standing or sitting. Standing, you will just do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. Sitting, you may come to end up staying longer than the prescribed amount of time, and that now is conferring a benefit onto the person who's ill. And so the Gemara says that's another distinction between standing and sitting. Okay. All this, so to say, is answer number one of the Gemara in terms of what is the difference between standing or sitting. And both of these are working with the basic assumption that the Mishnah is describing a neder where the person who is visiting cannot provide benefit for the person he's visiting. And the reason why the Mishnah makes a distinction is because once you sit and you're going to stay longer than you need to, so then that extra time is chargeable, and that's what you're providing a benefit for the person who's sick. That's answer number one. So Ula is going to give a different answer. No, we're going to go back to the other direction, says Ula. Our Mishnah is talking about where the person who's sick is not allowed to provide benefit for the person who's coming to visit. And what was our problem with that approach earlier in the Gemara? The problem was, well, in that case, the person who's coming to pay a visit can't even walk in the door, because he is not allowed to get any benefit from the property of the person who's sick. To which now Ula is going to have to explain. So why can he walk in? Meaning, why can he just walk in the door? So kagon delo adre mincha yusei. So the Gemara says, because whenever a person makes a neder, there's a built-in exclusion to the neder. Now the Ron explains that you don't have to articulate this. This is built into every neder that a person makes, and that is lo adre mincha yusei. Meaning, I don't want you. You're not going to get any benefit from my property. However, if I get sick and I need you, and I need you to see how I'm doing and see about my well-being. So that is something that was not included in my neder. Meaning, we're sworn enemies, but once I'm sick, you understand that, you know, we're going to look a little bit beyond our differences and the neder that I made. This is a built-in exclusion, says Ula, into any neder that was stated. So therefore, according to Ula, if this is a built-in exclusion, right, lo adri min chiyuse, so now that the mavak, I'm sorry, now that the chol is sick, by definition, he's a chola, now that the chol is sick, so now the person can come in and pay him a visit because this is a built-in exclusion. So Yoshev Nami. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're a believer in this built-in exclusion to every neder, that once you're sick, you wait. There's a built-in waiving of the neder. So then, not only let the mavaker come in, but let him come and sit as well. So the Gemara says, Ha efshar ba'amida. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it can be done. The mitzvah itself can be done with amida, and even within the built-in exclusion only allows the basic necessity of bikur cholim, nothing beyond that. Okay, that's the second answer of the Gemara. So really, in our Mishnah, we learned that there's a distinction between standing and sitting, and right now in the Gemara we have basically two approaches: Shmuel's approach and Ula's approach. Shmuel's approach is that our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the property of the mevaker is prohibited to the person who got sick. So how can the mevaker come in and pay a visit? So the answer is because he's just doing a mitzvah, and even though he's not allowed to provide benefit, but what he's doing is he's just doing a mitzvah, and that's not considered hana. So what does the Mishnah make a distinction between standing and sitting? So Shmuel's answer is because our Mishnah is talking about a community where you get to charge for sitting and being there beyond the basic necessity of bikur cholim. And that's why the Mishnah says he can't sit, because for that, that's chargeable. And once you don't charge that, then you're providing a benefit. Ula goes in the other direction. Ula says that our Mishnah is talking about where the property of the sick person is prohibited to the person who's paying him a visit. So why is he allowed to come in? Why is he even allowed to walk through in the door? Because Ula is of the belief that there's a built-in exclusion to every neder, meaning you're not going to get benefit from my property, but if I need you, I'm sick and I need you, so that's a built-in exclusion to every neder. Okay, that is the two approaches of our Mishnah. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the following brisa. Chala hu nichnas avakar, chala beno, sho'ola b'shok. The brisa over here says, again, the brisa is dealing with a construct where one person made a neder against another person, and the brisa says that if one of them gets sick, so you can pay him a visit, but if one of the kids gets sick, so then, sho'ola b'shok, you can't pay him a visit, but you make an inquiry. In other words, how's your son doing? Everything okay? Is there anything I could do? You make a basic inquiry. Now, why should there be a difference between the person himself getting sick versus his son? Person himself getting sick, so you can walk in the door and you can pay him a visit. If his son gets sick, so you can't you can't walk in the house. The only thing you could do is just simply say, "Hey, is everything okay?" So la'ula. So I'm sorry, Bisham la'ula. Damer b'shenich zecholasur nala mevaker ukegun de la'ajim in chiyusa shapir. So according to Ula, perfect. I understand the brisa perfectly. Because according to Ula, what's the case? The case is where the property of the sick person is prohibited to the mevaker. And now, according to Ula, look, there's a built-in exclusion. I'm making a neder against you, but not mincha yusei. Meaning, once I'm sick, so that's a built-in exclusion to every neder. So according to Ula, perfect. The built-in exclusion is only for me, not for other family members. Meaning, only if I need you is there a built-in exclusion, but not for other family members. So then I get the brisa. The brisa says that if I get sick, so then you can come and visit me, because there's a built-in exclusion to every neder. If my kid gets sick, that's not part of the built-in exclusion, and so therefore you can't come into my house, because then you're going to be benefiting from me by walking in my house and violating the neder. Good. But according to Shmuel, remember, the only reason why Shmuel made a distinction between standing or sitting is because once you sit, you're going to have to charge. Because you're overstaying the Bikur Cholim allotted time. So then you could charge. So the Gemara says, okay, now that Shmuel says that's the only difference, so then, if in this brisa, where the brisa says you could visit the person but not his son, well, what difference does it make? Meaning, if we're talking about a case where the property of the mevaker is prohibited to the person who's sick, So let him come in, just stand, and visit him. Let him come in, just stand, in order to visit the son. There shouldn't be a difference between visiting him or visiting his son. So the Gemara says, okay, so Shmuel would just simply say to you that the Mishnah, as we just learned it, the difference between standing and sitting, so that's talking about where the property of the person who is visiting is prohibited to the person who's sick. And again, the Mishnah is talking about just come in, just stand, and just do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And that's not a hana, that's not conferring benefit. You're doing the mitzvah. And the Braisa, making a distinction between visiting him, visiting his son, is the other direction, where the property of the sick person is prohibited to the person who is coming and paying a visit. And what's the understanding of the Braisa? So Shmuel agrees with Ula. As Aran points out, Shmuel doesn't dispute the basic idea of what Ula is saying. Right. Shmuel agrees there is a built-in exclusion to the to every neder. If I need you, meaning if I'm sick and I need someone to pay me a visit, so that was not included in my neder. So and so the Braisa is talking about that scenario. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, my Pascha, very last line of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, seems to be a little bit arbitrary. The Mishnah is talking about neder going in one direction. The Braisa is talking about neder going in the other direction. Amar Rava Shmuel Masnisin Kashi Salei. So Rava explains, look, as far as Shmuel's concerned, he had no other choice. Meaning the Mishnah, the only way to explain the Mishnah is by saying that the property of the Mevaker is prohibited to the sick person. There is no other way to explain the Mishnah. Because my irya dini omed avalo yoshev. Because why in the world would the Mishnah make a difference between standing or sitting? I don't understand. If it had to do with the Ula's idea, which Shmuel actually agrees to, that every neder has a built-in exclusion, and that exclusion is don't get benefit from me unless I get sick. So if Shmuel subscribes to that viewpoint, which he does, so then I can't possibly see a difference between coming in and standing versus coming in and sitting. As Aran explains, not only does Shmuel agree with Ula, Shmuel really agrees with Ula. Yes, there is a built-in exclusion to every neder. You're not going to get benefit from me unless I get sick. In which case, you can come and you can take care of me. And not only can you take care of me, you can come in, you can stand, you can sit, you can do whatever. So Shmuel really agrees with Ula. So in that case, so he had no way of explaining the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah makes this, what seemingly arbitrary distinction between standing and sitting. Oh, so Shmuel says, okay, must be that we have to turn around the neder in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about where the property of the sick person is prohibited to the property of the mevaker, but just the other way around. The property of the mevaker is prohibited to the property, I'm sorry, to the person who's sick. And then we can understand, then we can even begin to understand the difference between standing and sitting. Standing, just doing a mitzvah. Sitting, I'm going now beyond the mitzvah. That's a chargeable service, one that I'm not going to charge for. And now the person who's sick is going to be receiving a benefit from the person who is paying him a visit. Adkan. That is the understanding of the Mishnah and the Braisa according to Shmuel. Okay? And then a question of who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Shmuel? Do we paskin like Ula? So the Ran on the very bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, on the very top, discusses who we go like. Okay, but let's just quickly recap. That was really the harder part of today's daf, admittedly. So again, we now know, we learned in our Mishnah that if there's a neder created between one person and another and one of them gets sick. So the Mishnah says you can come in, you can visit, but you can only stand, you can't sit. So where do we stand in terms of understanding the Mishnah? There are two basic approaches within the Mishnah. Either, number one, Shmuel's approach in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the person who is visiting is not allowed to provide benefit for the person who's sick. Okay, so you can come in and you can pay the and you can do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, because again, doing a mitzvah is not providing a hana. Yes, benefit occurs, but you're not giving the benefit. You're just simply doing a mitzvah. That's why you can come in and stand, but you can't sit because sitting is going above and beyond the actual mitzvah. And that is a service that you're providing, which is not a mitzvah, and that's why you can't sit. That is Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. Ula says no, just the opposite. The Mishnah is talking about where the property of the sick person is prohibited to the property to the person who's coming to visit. So why can he even walk in the door? So Ula's understanding is that built into every neder is an exclusion of you cannot get benefit from me unless I get sick. That is a built-in exclusion to every neder. The Ron says on the Amud Aleph, you don't even have to articulate it. It's understood. It's an umdana that in every neder you're simply in a time of need. Then you can come in my house and you can see how I'm doing. And under those circumstances, that's how the Mishnah works. According to Ula, why can't you sit? So that part's a little tricky. So Ula just simply says because once you sit, so then you're going to go beyond the Bikur Cholam time. And Shmuel, to which Shmuel says, no, I don't agree with that point. I mean, Shmuel, meaning as the Gemara concluded, Shmuel actually agrees with Ula. But Shmuel goes even further than Ula. Once there's this built-in exclusion, so then Shmuel says, I don't even see the difference between standing and sitting. Meaning now you can come in and now you can pay me a visit. You can even sit. You can hang out a little bit because there's an exclusion to the neder. So the only way that Shmuel understood our Mishnah is the other direction. Okay. Adkan.
Don't you say that sitting is a Hebrew
In other words, once we define what the mitzvah actually is, which is really tomorrow's daf, so then you'll see. In other words, that the mitzvah has a particular parameter. So you could say that, but based on tomorrow's Gemara, you'll see that the mitzvah is very specific in terms of what should be done.
Here it's usher. Netters, you'd have to do the least shear.
Right, correct. In other words, right. Once you're going beyond the mitzvah, so now you're providing hana, which the netter prohibits. Absolutely. Yeah, correct. So the okay. Amar Reish Lakish. Abalashiv Shmamina. Okay, fine. Amar Reish Lakish. Remez Labikar Cholam and Atar Minayin. Okay, and here we go. Okay, the remainder of today's daf, we're going to now give a source for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So as I explained in the beginning of today's shiur, there is no mitzvah in the Torah to visit somebody who is sick. Meaning, I know Avram Avinu was visited by Kadosh Baruch Hu when he was sick. But okay, in other words, that's embracious. That's before the Torah is given. The Torah over there does not command, meaning it's anecdotal. But the Torah doesn't give a tzivui. There's no command in the Torah to visit the sick, and there's also a mitzvah in the Torah, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. But there also, the Torah doesn't say, when somebody's sick, you must pay a visit. The Torah just simply says, you know how you treat others? The way you want to be treated. But there's no mitzvah per se for Bikur Cholim. So, to put it simply,
you're commanded to save other people, though.
Okay, good. So maybe we'll talk tomorrow about how Bikur Cholim can sustain life and can really heal, and it might fall into the category of ripui, of healing somebody. Okay, in Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvahs of Bikur Cholim are right by the halachas of a doctor practicing medicine. So yeah, in other words, it's certainly functionality in terms of the mitzvah itself, but in terms of the actual mitzvah of paying somebody a visit, so it's not actually written explicitly in the Torah, to put it simply. Remez, however, we know that there are hints and allegations in the Torah towards good conduct. Where is there a hint in the Torah for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? So unless you've learned this Gemara previously, you would never have guessed this. I don't want to make promises, but there's no way you would have ever considered this as being a source of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Ramaz Bikur Cholim and Atar Minayin Shenamrim Kamos Kol Adam Yimusan Eila Ufkudas Kol Adam V'chulei. We're quoting from a parsha that we read a couple weeks ago on Shabbos. Parsha's Korach. So Korach starts a rebellion against Moshe. He rallies the troops behind him. So Dasan Aviram, 250 people. And good. And so a nice rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, please stop. No, don't. And Korach doesn't want to hear any of it. And okay, so Moshe finally gives Korach an ultimatum. Look, here we go. This is not going to go well for you. And basically he gives him a warning. And he says to him that, look, if you don't survive this, you'll know that, you'll know after you don't survive this. If you don't survive this, so, and the ground is going to open its mouth and it's going to swallow you, so you'll know that we're right. If, however, you survive this, so then I'll tip my hat to you and you're right. Okay, and right, everyone know the finality of the story, how it concludes. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara right now is fixated on one pasuk. Im kamos kol adam yemuson, eila ufkudas kol adam. The Torah in Moshe's warning to Korach says, if you die like every other person, being visited. That's what Moshe says to Korach. My mashma amar Rabba, and Rabba says, here's how we're going to read the pasuk. Im kamos kol adam yemuson eila shehin cholumu talim beris asan. Normally, how do people go? So normally what happens is they get sick, they're in bed, and they're visited by others. Meaning that's just simply the way of the world. Mahabrios omrim lo, I'm sorry, Mahabrios omrim lo Hashem shalachani lazeh. And if that's what happens to you, Korach, meaning if you die a nice, peaceful death, where, preceded before your death, you're going to be visited by people, so then, lo Hashem shalachani. So I'm not a messenger of God, and you're right, and I'm going to concede defeat. Okay, so encrypted in this pasuk, it's not explicit, but encrypted in the pasuk is the idea that normally what happens is that before you die, you get sick, and people come and visit you. And if Korach, that happens to you, so then I admit defeat. This is a remez in the Torah. It's really an encryption. It's a remez in the Torah to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So I heard a nice pshat. I don't know who to give credit to, but we're going to learn. Later on. Meaning, let me articulate a question. It's a funny place to encrypt the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Meaning, in the middle of an insurgency between Korach and his people against Moshe. So Moshe says, oh, by the way, Korach, if you receive the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, so then you win. But if not, so then I'm right and I'm Shleich Hashem. Why here, of all places, in Chumash, is there going to be a remez in the Torah to the mitzvah Bikur Cholim? That does seem unbelievably strange. So I heard a pshat. We're going to learn later, either at the end of today's shiur or to the beginning of tomorrow's shiur, the idea that the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is best performed when it's done by Ben Gilo. Right? Ben Gilo, right, if you have not heard the expression before, and Ben Gilo is basically somebody who has a kindred spirit. In other words, somebody I can really relate to. The most literal understanding of the word Ben Gilo is basically, you know, we're about the same age.
Contemporary.
We're contemporaries. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Korach is that, look, you, right, you're claiming, right, kolam kedoshim, like everyone's equal, right? In other words, you're basically saying we're contemporaries. Oh, okay, really interesting. So if you're sick and you're visited by others, so then we could talk about being contemporaries with one another. But if you're not, in other words, but if the earth swallows you up and you have a totally unnatural demise, so it basically is proof that we're not Ben Gilo. We're not contemporaries with one another. We're not colleagues. And don't, in other words, don't view us the same. So I heard that as a possible understanding of why specifically by Korach is that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim encrypted over there. Okay. Anyway, let's continue in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara quotes the incident by Korach and the earth swallowing up. So the Gemara spends a little bit of time. You know, the Gemara sometimes gets distracted. Meaning, we're right now discussing Nedarim, Bikur Cholim, but we did mention Korach and the earth swallowing up. So the Gemara says, okay, let's just turn our attention over there. So, Darush Rava, Imbriyas Yivra Hashem, Imbriya Gehenna Mutav Tia Imlav Yivra Hashem. So the way Rav understands the pasuk is that, look, Moshe says to Korach, If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gehenna, that's great. You should be swallowed up by it. But if not, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create it right now. To which the Gemara says, V'atanya. That statement of Rava is very puzzling. We learned in a Braisa. Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodim Shinivra Olam Elohim. Seven things that create that preceded the creation of the world. And they are Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei, Kavod, Beis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. And the Gemara is going to go through each one. Torah, Dichsiv, Hashem Kanani, Reishis Darko. The Pasuk describing how Torah was created before anything else. Reishis, it preceded. Tshuva, Dichsiv, Beter, Marin, Yulad, V'techolel, Tashev, Enosh, Ad, Daka. Tshuva also preceded the creation of the world. Gan Eden, Dichsiv, Ita, Hashem, Elokim, Gan Eden, Mi Kedem. Mi Kedem literally means to the east, but in the context of this Pasuk, in the context of this Gemara, it means Mi Kedem from before. In other words, it was there, Gan Eden was there even beforehand. Gehenem, Dichsiv, Ki, Aroch, Me'asmol, Tipateh. Again, me'esmol, it comes from yesterday. In this context, meaning that Gehenem is preceded the world. Kisei kavod dichsiv nachon kisacha me'az. The kisei kavod was there me'az, from then, meaning again preceded the world. Beis hamikdash dichsiv kisei kavod marom me'rishon. Again, another pasuk describing the kisei hakavod coming before. Sorry, the Beis HaMikdash coming before the creation of the earth, and finally Shmo Shem Mashiach, the name of Mashiach Yisrael Yishmo Le'olam. So these seven things were created before the world was created. So Rava's understanding of the pasuk is Kadosh Baruch Hu, if there is no Gehenna, you know, create it right now for Korach. But that apparently it's not true. In other words, Gehenna was there even before the world was created. Elahachi Kamar, the Gemara says, okay, this is pshat. Yivrele Puma Muta V'im Lo Yivre Hashem. It's not that Gehenim needs to be created. Gehenim was there. It's just with the entrance. So if there's an entrance to Gehenim, fine, says Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if there is no entrance, so right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to create an entrance for Korach right now. So Gemara says, V'aksiv ein kol chadash tachas HaShemesh. But even that, the Gemara says, is not conceivable. Because we know nothing new is created in the world. Even an entrance is something new. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar e hacha lo mikarav puma la hacha likarav." So the Gemara says, "Look, if the entrance of Gehenim, in other words, it's around, the entrance is around. So if it's close, so then great. And if not, Kadosh Baruch Hu, can you take the entrance to Gehenim and move it closer so that Korach can be swallowed up?" Okay, so that's the understanding of Yivra. Yivra does not actually mean a creation. Gehenim was already there. It doesn't even mean a creation of the entrance. That also was already there. Moshe Rabbeinu's petition to Kadosh Baruch Hu was just make the entrance closer if necessary. Derash Rav Avami Lamer, Rav Yitzchak Mai Dichsiv, Shemesh Yerech Amad, Amad Zvula. Shemesh V'Yerech B'Zvul Mai Bayin. The Navi in Chavakuk describes how Shemesh and Yerech went to Zvul. Now, to understand the Gemara, just you need to know that the way the cosmos are viewed by Chazal is that there are seven rakias, there are seven heavens, one above the other. It's like, if you want an image, it's like a dome by another dome by another dome, and there are seven. The Kisei HaKavod is all the way up top. In other words, you have to, if you go in the elevator, you press you press floor seven, and you get to the Kisei HaKavod. So where does the sun and the moon operate? So that they operate in the second dome called Rakia. Okay, this is the cosmos according to Chazal. So they are in Rakia. And so the Navi in Chavakuk describes how the Shemesh and Yareach leave Rakia, meaning that's the second floor of the Shamayim, and they go up to Zvul. I'll be honest with you, I forgot which floor Zvul is. So it's back in Chagiga. So anyway, so my bayin v'habir Rakia kviya. So the Gemara says, now what is Navi and Chavakuk describing the sun and the moon being in Zvul? Which that's not where they operate. They operate down in Rakia. So Malami Shalu Shemesh Verech Merakia Lezvul V'Amr Lefan Rebona Sha'olam. So the Gemara over here, I mean, this is real Agadita. Gemara over here says the sun and the moon went on strike, and they said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not working today. Imata Osa Din LeBen Avram Anu Meirim VeImlav Ein Anu Meirim. So they see the fight taking place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. and they don't know how this is going to end, and they're not clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to side with Moshe, so they basically stage a protest, a strike, and they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, if you litigate on behalf of Ben Amram, great, we'll go back downstairs, we'll go to the Rakia, and we'll go back to work. Otherwise, we're on strike. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the sun and to the moon, enough. He fires arrows and slings at them, and he says, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, to the sun and the moon, like, that's a lot of chutzpah out of the two of you. Meaning, every day people in the world bow down to you, they worship you, right? Literally, that's what Ovdei Kochavim are. In other words, who are the original idolaters? What do they worship? Kochavim. Stars, sun, moon, and all, every day they're worshiping you, right? And that's a direct affront to me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you seem to be fine with it, and you're still operating, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is in trouble, and now you're going to go on strike. What a chutzpah! Uvechol yom vayom bahem chitzim. Uvechol yom vayom yoren bahem chitzim vechanitot umeirim. And then from that point going forward, so it sounds like, and the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but it sounds like almost like punishment for the sun and the moon for wanting to go on strike on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to, like, you know, prod them every day to go out.
It doesn't jive with what we say. When we say kill Adon, I'll call them Asim, you say, you know, it doesn't jive with that.
Yeah, in other words, in the world of Agadata, like, what, you know, obviously, you know, the depths behind this Gemara is unbelievable. All I'm doing is just providing a really, really simple, just basic explanation. Not even explanation, I'm just reading the words. Okay, fine. So that is the Gemara finishing up with the revolt of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Gemara just a little bit of a divergence in terms of Gehenim and the construction of Gehenim. Gemara's conclusion, Gehenim was created before the world was created. The only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for is just simply to move the entrance a little bit closer over here to swap Korach. And two, the Gemara also diverged to discuss the idea of the sun and the moon protesting, striking in support of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking umbrage to the idea that they don't defend Hashem's honor, but meanwhile they're going to be defending Moshe's honor. And two agadic points in the Gemara. Back to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So let's begin today. We're going to be discussing now some of the most basic halachas behind Bikur Cholim. And here we go. So Tanya, we learned on the bright side. We're in the second wide line down now on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Bikur Cholim Ein Lashir. There is no amount. There's no prescribed amount to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Mayin Lashir. So what does that mean? So Rav Yosef Lamemarin Shir Lamatan Tzchara. So Rav Yosef says, you do the mitzvah, and the amount of reward you're going to get is immeasurable. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, that's true by every mitzvah. V'chol mitzvah is mi yesh shir laman tzcharim v'hatanan. All you need to know is Pirkei Avos, first Mishnah, second Perek. Havizar b'mitzvah kala kebechamura. She'inat hayodeh matan tzcharim shal mitzvos. Treat every mitzvah significantly. Quote unquote a light mitzvah. No, treat it as much as seriously as you would a quote unquote heavy mitzvah. We don't know the reward of mitzvos, so every mitzvah has unlimited reward. So that's not what the Braisa means by specifically by Bikur Cholim. El Amar Abaye Afilu Gadol Eitzo Katan. So it means Ein Lashir, meaning that don't take into consideration, you know, I'm a very significant person. That person is sick. Rechmanus, I'm meaning he's sick, but let other people visit him. Meaning, says, you know, somebody not somebody of my stature. So that's point number one, says Abaye. Afilu Gadol Eitzo Katan. Even somebody who is great should take the time and visit somebody who is quote unquote seemingly less significant. And Rav Amar Afilu Me'apamim Bayom. Rav says it means as follows. It means that you go and visit him even 100 times over the course of a day. Meaning, as we learned back in the Mishnah already, you don't go in there and you don't stay. Bikur Cholim is just a bikur. It's a visit. And then you leave. But it doesn't mean that the mitzvah is over. Meaning, in other words, an hour later, 2 hours later, check in on him. And keep doing that repeatedly. Ein lashir means that there's no limit to the number of times you can go in. Now, don't make a pest of yourself, but we're going to actually talk about that later on. By visiting him, you're going to be removing a 60th of his illness. Or literally, tsa'aro, meaning his pain, but the girsa on the side also has the word chal yo, either his pain or his illness. So the Gemara says, really? So then, anytime a person's sick, so just get 60 people come, everyone's going to take a 60th away, and good. And the problem solved. Amrle ki isu raisa debe rebbe. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not how math works in this case. The math is a 60th of whatever's remaining. So in other words, you don't take a 60th of the original, a 60th of the remainder. So the first person comes in, takes a 60th of the illness. Next person comes in, takes a 60th of whatever's remaining, none of the original. So the Gemara says, you know what it's like? It's like Isu Raisa Debe Rebbe. So Isu Raisa Debe Rebbe, the Gemara is going to explain. I'll save that till tomorrow. Meaning tomorrow we'll talk about what is the Isu Raisa Debe Rebbe. But let me just do two more words of the Gemara and we'll stop with that and we'll stop today. Uve ben Gilo. And the Gemara puts in one clause. You're going to come in, you're going to do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, and as we just learned, Abaye taught us, it doesn't matter. You are contemporaries, you are greater than he is, that doesn't matter. In other words, it's a mitzvah Bikur Cholim. In terms of the removal of the illness, taking away 60th of either the pain or the illness, so that is only going to be effective if you're a Ben Gilo. You take a look at the Ran over here, the Ran's description of what it means to be a Ben Gilo, it's the second to last line of the Ran, Shenolad HaMevaker B'mazalo Shochola. So the Ran gives a metaphysical explanation of the Gemara. You and him are born under the same mazel. Okay, you could say it a little bit simpler than the Mefarish on the inside of the Yamud says, Bachar Kamoso Zaken Lazaken. A contemporary, meaning to give really a simple explanation of the Gemara over here, when you're sick and you're being paid a visit, and it's not, you know, it's somebody that you could totally relate to, same life experience, same age, same, you know, so it's easy to commiserate. And it's easy to commiserate, oh, okay, fine, good. He understands me. And you can unload a little bit of your illness on the person. I can write a simple explanation of the Gemara, and maybe that's what the Gemara means when it says Ben Gilo. But either way, good. So right now we just introduced ourselves to the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. Tomorrow is really the daf that discusses some of the basic halachas regarding Bikur Cholim. We got into the discussion because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim can be performed even if two people make nedarim to one to another. The Mishnah made a distinction between standing and sitting. We gave two explanations of our Mishnah, Shmuel and Ula, two different explanations of how the Mishnah works, and the difference between Shmuel and Ula is the difference with who is not allowed to provide benefit to whom. So again, go back to the beginning of today's daf to go over that. And then the Amud Beis of today's daf described the remez in the Torah to where we find the mitzvah Bikur Cholim encrypted in the Torah, not explicitly mentioned. That's by Korach, Moshe's warning to Korach. If you're visited and you die a natural death, so then you win this war. If, however, the earth swallows you up, then I win. I mean, by definition. But and then the Gemara segued into two agadic points, one regarding Gehenna, and the second regarding the sun and the moon staging a strike against on behalf of Moshe. And then the Gemara just started today with the halachas of Bikur Cholim, Ein Lashir, there's no set amount, even 100 times in one day, and the idea of removing illness through a Ben Gilo, and tomorrow we continue.